This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert.
It's time for our weekly state news roundup. Today we look at the big decisions just handed down by Wisconsin's Supreme Court and find out about a possible coal shortage for the state. Noah Ovshinsky joins us. He's WPR's assistant news director. Hey, Noah.
It's good to be here. Thanks, Rob. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, too. Well, it was a big Thursday this week from the state Supreme Court. They tackled three things that have been making headlines in Wisconsin for years now. Let's take them one at a time.
Yeah, three hot-button issues. And you're right, yesterday was really a huge day in the state Supreme Court. Firstly, the court brought some closure, at least some legal, the closure to some legal debate over Act 10, which was the law that was championed by Governor Walker that curtailed the collective bargaining rights of state unions. The court ruled 5-2 that this controversial law is indeed constitutional.
And who had brought suit or suits on this one?
So the Madison Teachers Union and city workers in Milwaukee originally sued, and they argued that the law basically infringed on their constitutional rights of association, free speech, and equal protection. The majority in the court obviously did not buy that argument.
So what was the argument in the majority turning down that lawsuit?
Right. So the court basically said that collective bargaining among public unions is something that really is the purview of the state legislature and not something that is somehow, you know, guaranteed or enshrined in the state constitution.
So the suits tried to expand or use the definition from the First Amendment of freedom of association, et cetera, to say that includes what we were doing as unions and collective bargaining. The Supreme Court, the state Supreme Court, didn't buy that argument.
No, I mean, the justices basically said, you know, your right to collectively bargain goes only as far as the legislature allows it. Mm-hmm. And of course, in this case, the legislature voted to curtail it.
And so reactions. So there have been a lot in the last day.
Yeah, of course. Governor Walker called it a huge win. Of course, that was one of his signature pieces of legislation in his first term. The attorney for the unions, you know, says while the law was, you know, really meant to eliminate unions, he says they're not going to go away. He says even in light of this recent ruling that unions will, in fact, continue to thrive.
But as you said, there is, in one sense, closure here. This was the last big legal challenge that might have overturned Act 10.
Exactly. So there is some closure. I don't think it closes the door on the issue completely. And what I mean by that is there are still some lawmakers who would like to see the law actually extended to police and firefighters and their unions. You know, now with the law on, you know, solid legal footing, that may be something that the legislature might revisit next year when they come back in session.
Is that something we've heard from Republicans or Democrats on, for that matter?
Senate Republican Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald did not rule it out during an interview yesterday. Assembly Democratic Minority Leader Peter Barca says he actually has no doubt Republicans would expand Act 10 if given the chance.
All right. That's one of three rulings. Moving on to voter ID, another big legal challenge coming before the state Supreme Court.
Yeah. So the second hot-button issue that was dealt with yesterday, and the Supreme Court voted to uphold the state's controversial voter ID law with one, you know, small caveat. The court says the Department of Transportation actually has to find a way to issue photo IDs without a birth certificate. That particular document is, you know, required to receive a free ID, and that costs money. And the court basically said that, you know, voting shouldn't cost any money. You know, the big question is, you know, how will the transportation officials handle that ruling? That's a bit unclear.
Some people are kind of scratching their heads on this one. They didn't overturn it, but they sort of amended how things are enforced in the state to make it comply with the Constitution.
Yeah. I mean, they want to make sure that people who can vote, you know, can, you know, and that money shouldn't be a barrier to them voting.
What do we hear? These were not unanimous. What do we hear from dissenters on this?
No, the court actually ruled in two voter ID cases, and in one, the vote was 4-3, and the other, I believe, it was 5-2. The dissenters were, you know, Rob, they were quite direct in their language. And in fact, I'm going to just quote directly from the dissent, and they said, quote, the court follows not James Madison, Jefferson, for whom Wisconsin's capital city is named, but rather Jim Crow, the name typically used to refer to repressive laws used to restrict rights, including the right to vote, of African Americans. So very strong language in the dissent.
And we've heard from Governor Walker on this one as well?
Sure. So Governor Walker also was on the road yesterday and, of course, asked about the rulings. And he called voter ID common sense reform. And again, it was something that he championed as well.
Primary elections coming up, though. Are we going to show ID at the polls?
No. Even though the state Supreme Court issued its ruling, the voter ID issue is actually far from resolved. A separate federal case has been sent to the appeals court in Chicago. And in the meantime, the law is on hold, essentially. And plaintiffs in that case successfully argued in federal district court that the voter ID law actually violates the Constitution and the Voting Rights Act.
Could that ruling come down in time for November elections?
It's possible. I would say Governor Walker did say he didn't expect voter ID to be in place in time for the November election. Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen says he will work to get it in place by then. He says these latest rulings in the state Supreme Court actually bolster his case in the federal court. So he says, what happened yesterday certainly could have a direct effect on the federal case that is now sort of winding its way through the federal court system.
Okay, then the third big issue from the state Supreme Court on domestic partner registries.
Right, so the third hot button issue they dealt with yesterday, the Supreme Court voted to uphold the state's domestic partner registry.
And so give us the background on that law. Where did that come from?
Right. So this registry was set up in 2009 as a way to provide certain benefits to domestic partners like hospital visitation rights.
And what was the challenge to that based on?
The group Wisconsin Family Action sued, actually Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen refused to defend the law. Both saw it as sort of a violation of the state's gay marriage ban.
Right. So the ban in the Constitution, the constitutional amendment said there shouldn't be anything created substantially similar, I think words like that,
exactly,
to marriage for same-sex couples. So how did the court read that one?
So the court actually ruled unanimously that this legal status that's set up under this registry, essentially, is not substantially similar to heterosexual marriage and therefore did not violate the gay marriage ban in the state.
And reaction from the people behind that suit?
Julaine Appling with Wisconsin Family Action, who brought the suit, said, she was disappointed by the ruling, but at the same time encouraged because the court determined that marriage between a man and a woman is different than the relationships that are included in the registry.
Well, once again, this isn't the end of the story. This is the state Supreme Court. We've got action in federal courts on this.
Right. So just like voter ID, this is also being dealt with in the federal courts. The legal wrangling over the registry and gay marriage in general here in Wisconsin may all actually be for naught. That's because the gay marriage ban is currently being challenged in federal court. At the district level, it actually has already been ruled unconstitutional. And, hundreds of couples have already been married in Wisconsin, although those marriages are legally in limbo. An appeals court has taken up the case. But when it's all said and done, this issue will likely end up in the Supreme Court. Wait and see.
Okay. So if the Supreme Court upholds the constitutional ban on same-sex marriage,
right,
then what the state Supreme Court did matters.
Right. So that's in a totally different scenario, assuming the Supreme Court upholds the bans that are in place, nationwide in many states. This ruling could have a lasting effect in Wisconsin because that registry, in effect, would remain in place.
All right. Let's step outside the court now. A possible coal shortage coming up in Wisconsin?
Right. So stepping outside the legal arena here for a second and into the environmental/energy arena, the dramatic increase we've seen in railroad oil shipments around the state, which, of course, we've talked a lot about on the show, is affecting another energy sector. Dairyland Power Cooperative says they have a shortage of coal. Officials say they don't actually actually have enough to start building the inventory they need for the upcoming winter.
So we've got all this oil coming from the fields in, what, North Dakota, Canada, all the fracking-related stuff. So there's no capacity to carry the coal?
Right. So basically what's happening is these coal shipments are getting bumped by oil shipments coming from North Dakota and Canada. And that means a shortage of coal making its way to some power companies.
A lot of communities in the Midwest rely on coal for electricity.
Yeah. Dairyland, in fact, just Dairyland itself supplies power to something like 40 power plants in four different states.
Well, we can keep shipping coal via rail in the winter, can't we?
Yes, but that's not the problem, at least for Dairyland. The clock is ticking because their coal is shipped by train to the Mississippi River, and then the coal is loaded onto barges bound for their power plant. Of course, the problem is, as soon as the river ice is over, the barges stop running. So the clock is ticking for Dairyland to get the coal they need to get ready for the winter.
So last winter, it was propane costs we were watching. Is it going to be coal this winter?
Well, if things continue on this course, we could see, like the propane shortage last winter, tighter supplies and therefore higher prices.
Are we seeing anything from our electeds on this?
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely. State Senator Bob Jauch and three other state lawmakers have sent a letter to the Surface Transportation Board urging the feds to take action. Senator Tammy Baldwin, Congressman Ron Kind, they have all weighed in on this issue, trying to get more coal to these power plants.
What could they do? I mean, what can the federal government require be done? And are companies trying to meet this demand?
Right. So the federal government is actually demanding that the railroad, and have sent a letter demanding as much to the railroad, you know, asking, you know, basically every week, you know, every so often, how they're doing and taking care of this backlog of coal. So certainly the feds are very interested in this. Congressman Ron Kind says the railroad has been responsive to their concerns and that it's trying to speed up delivery. Burlington Northern said in a statement that was quoted by Mike Simonson earlier this week that they are investing billions of dollars to expand capacity. And in the railroad's case, you know, that means, frankly, more people and more locomotives.
How much would capacity have to increase? So what does Dairyland say they need?
Well, according to Dairyland Power, the railroad company would have to triple the amount of coal it currently ships every week to avoid, you know, problems down the line this winter.
It's new boom times for freight rail, it seems like.
There is a lot of competition for those railroads. And, you know, the question is, do we have enough capacity to, you know, move grain, to move coal, to move oil?
All right. That'll be one to watch between now and winter. Noah, thanks as always.
It was good to be here. Thanks, Rob.
Noah Shinsky is WPR's assistant news director. He joins us every week at this time to talk state news.
I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Remember, you can always head over to the Central Time Facebook page to leave your thoughts on what you're hearing on the show. And by the way, head over to WPR.org. Remember that bass conversation we had, the best bass lines, Veronica?
How could I forget?
It was a lot of fun. Well, Eric, one of our web guys, helped me out and put a big playlist, a Spotify playlist of all the bass tracks on there. So go to WPR.org, look up Central Time, find that bass show. There's a lot of great weekend listening waiting for you over there. So, a lot of fun. Stick around. More to come here on Central Time here in the Ideas Network.